Good Wednesday. Today is May the 21st, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, lawsuits continue as it applies to different pesticides that farmers need to have access to. We're going to take a look at where some of the latest of those are in the appeals process. We're also going to talk about the importance of trade and some deals that have been reached. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Lawsuits dealing with pesticides making agricultural headlines. Now, even with changes in administration, the Federal Trade Commission and 12 state attorneys generals are moving forward on a lawsuit filed by the Biden administration back in 2022, alleging pesticide manufacturers Syngenta Crop Protection Services and Corteva Inc. paid distributors to block competitors from selling less expensive generic products to farmers. Since the case was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina, there's been a back and forth on case discovery that's getting closer to wrapping up. The original complaint alleged the companies run so-called, quote, loyalty programs in which distributors are paid only if they limit business with competing manufacturers. The Federal Trade Commission was joined in the complaint by attorneys generals in California, Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, Oregon, Texas, and Wisconsin, and since that original complaint, also attorneys general from Tennessee and Washington joined in the lawsuit as well. The complaint set a deadline to complete discovery for November 21st of this year, and the plaintiffs asked for a myriad of documents from Syngenta Crop Protection Ag, Syngenta Corporation, and Syngenta Crop Protection LLC related to their crop protection products. That included loyalty programs and exclusivity conditions, sales and pricing data from 2002 until now, communications and agreements with distributors, retailers, and competitors, the internal analysis on the effects of loyalty programs on competition, pricing, and profitability, legal documents related to the litigation and investigation, and technical data about product formulations, manufacturing processes, and regulatory registrations. In a joint status report filed with the court at the end of March, all sides canceled an April 4th status conference because there was no new outstanding discovery disputes for that court to resolve. Government and MDL plaintiffs are in the process of analyzing and reviewing the defendant's documents, production, and response to the plaintiff's written discovery request and intend to meet and confer with the defendants concerning any deficiencies with respect thereto in the near future, a status report said. Now, Syngenta and Corteva are two of the largest pesticide manufacturers operating in the United States. Syngenta, based in Switzerland, is a subsidiary of a Chinese state-owned company. Corteva, headquartered in Indianapolis, is the company formed as part of a merger between DuPont and the Dow Chemical Company. The complaint alleges that Syngenta and Corteva take, quote, illegal steps to stop generic pesticides from entering into the profits. The loyalty programs include making payments to distributors if those distributors keep the purchases of competing generic pesticides beneath a certain threshold. Now, in 2022, a news release came out, and the FTC said that the companies were, quote, boxing out the competition, which allowed them to, quote, keep charging such high prices that even after compensating the distributors, they can maintain a large profit margin. The Federal Trade Commission alleges the distributors pass high prices on to farmers and ultimately then to the consumers. The Federal Trade Commission said when a company creates a new pesticide, it can patent the invention and prevent others from selling the pesticide for up to 20 years. Ordinarily, when the patents expire, generic versions of the product enter the market to compete with the original brand name version, they said. The arrival of generics pushed prices down, and instead of one company wielding a monopoly over a new product, many manufacturers then can compete for the farmer's business. Stay tuned, we'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, changing directions, trade obviously is an important part of agriculture, and there are different ways the ag sector can benefit from a trade agreement, in principle opening the United Kingdom to our nation's ag products. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
Long discussed, never agreed upon. That is, until the first full week of May. It's just been a deal that was, we thought, very complicated. It became very simple. It's opening up the country that we really didn't have the kind of access to that I would have thought. I was surprised. I think it's going to be something very special for UK and special for the United States.
President Donald Trump at the White House announcing the U.S.-United Kingdom trade agreement. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick explained details of the new trade agreement in principle, including how agriculture is expected to benefit.
We've opened up new market access, ethanol, beef, machinery, all the agricultural products. They've agreed to open their markets, and that will add $5 billion of opportunity to American exporters.
Also in attendance at the White House for the trade agreement announcement, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
It can't be understated how important this deal is and what this means to American farmers and ranchers. Specific to the beef, this is going to exponentially increase our beef exports. So I think a really important part of this deal isn't just the ethanol reducing of tariffs from 19 to zero, which for our row croppers is a huge deal, but also for beef. And as we move forward, I know our trade team is looking at all of the meats, all of the produce, really all of our agriculture exports.
The Secretary's UK visit, days after the announced trade deal in principle, featured promotion of U.S. farm and food goods and developing increased market access. Members of a delegation joining the Secretary in the United Kingdom also participated in various meetings between U.S. cooperators and U.K. importers. The reaching of the trade agreement in principle comes after over two decades of talks and negotiations to get such a deal done, including efforts in the first Trump administration.
Once we get the negotiating objectives out of them, we'll be ready to go.
Former U.S. Trade Representative Chief Ag Negotiator Greg Dowd in 2020, before the start of negotiations between the two nations at the height of the U.K.'s push to Brexit from the European Union. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.